This week, we wonder why can't any Westerosi tradition just be nice? We discuss whether incest is okay now. And we discuss how Len is an absolute shambles for missing that plot twist in our hot take. Welcome to Bastards and Broken Things.
Yay!
Yes, hello lords and ladies. Thank you for joining us as we fumble our way through the darkness, quite literally. I'm your host, Bronze John. Now, I bet you're a bit confused. You're thinking, what's going on here? Where's Len?
How's Len got so manly and bearded?
Well yes, correct. He's been axed. He's not in this podcast today. For his disgraceful performance, obviously, in the hot take. Little Gaz, our squire, is so upset by Len's absence that he's also decided not to turn up. And Lady Baron's not very well.
She's sickened by Len's appalling behaviour in said hot take.
Yeah.
And she's been taken to her bedchamber.
Yeah. Ooh. So that saucy mushroom that you just heard there... was Lady Emma. How are you today?
Lady Emma is delighted in a way that nobody else is here because it's just me and Bronze John. That's in. I haven't done a podcast, just two of us for ages.
Yeah, very long time.
I've treated myself to another bedtime tea for the podcast today because I am rock
good
and roll.
Yes.
How are you, Bronze John?
I'm all right. I'm pretty sure this week was supposed to be my week off. And not only do I not get a week off, I'm hosting the pod. And I've obviously got Len's notes here, and he hasn't got the best spelling in the world. I'm not going to kick the man whilst he's down. But yeah, I'm slightly annoyed to be hosting. And I'm sure there are listeners that are slightly annoyed that I'm hosting as well.
Yeah.
But you got no choice. So anyway.
If you don't like it, go and listen to another podcast.
Well, no, don't do that. Listen to it anyway, and then write in and complain. So that's fine with me. Anyway, so we should probably crack on, given it's just two of us. Overall thoughts on episode 7, titled Adrift Mark. I'm going to give you a choice, Emma. I have the scores for Len, Gaz, and Lucy. So I'll let you either go first, or I'll let you pick the first score of whoever else.
Oh, I don't want to taint what I've been thinking about since I watched the episode. So I think I'm going to go first.
Okay, so you want to go up.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't want to be...
Do it.
I don't want to be encouraged by anybody to change my score.
You are easily led.
I am easily
famously
led.
Famously easily led.
Easily swayed.
Famously easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's why I've been breastfeeding Gaz for 34 years.
Come on. See, I cut that out of Len's notes and you've... You've squeezed your breast in there again. Unbelievable.
Yes, again. Here she goes. Can't help it.
Yeah.
Wet nurse of Westeros.
Yes.
So firstly, I'd like to say I absolutely pissed my pants this morning listening to the hot take when right at the end, Len was like, what do you mean that was late? Because that was like an unbelievable plot twist that I probably should have seen coming. However, I thought was genius. This episode for me, I went into quite trepidatious because I hadn't really enjoyed last week that much. I gave it a 3 bloob. It was a bit sort of dull and flat. There were some good things about it. The performance is fantastic. It's great to meet all the new actors, blah, 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 blah. But my expectations were exceeded with this episode. I thought, you know, fair enough, the lad said in the hot take, you know, a couple of bits where it was a bit slow, everyone was just silently walking around looking at each other at a funeral. It's kind of how it works. There were some amazing set pieces, like dragons and fighting between children and, you know, Alison absolutely losing her shit. Rhaenyra and Daemon Damon? I'm not drunk, I promise. Rhaenyra and Damon, I wasn't sure if they were going to go there. They did. We'll discuss the pros and cons of incest later.
cons, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, illegal now. But actually, always. Do you know what? It worked. And I liked the shift in the characters, their mindset, their behaviours. I felt like things moved along relatively swiftly in this episode and I really enjoyed it. I mean, I know we're due another time jump. Next episode, right? Episode 8, John?
Next episode, yeah.
And the reason that I've wanted to go first is because I think I'm going to give the first 5 bloob of the season to this episode.
Yeah, I thought that might happen.
Honestly, it's the first one. I couldn't be asked to watch this last night. I'd had a really crappy day and I got into bed about 7:30 because I was just miserable. And I put on this episode thinking I'll probably fall asleep. I was absolutely on the edge of my pillow for the whole thing. And I really thought it was fantastic.
I've no idea what that means.
I like the, but, on the edge of you your know. Seat, but pillow because I was lying down.
Why are you sitting on your pillow?
I wasn't on my head. On the edge of my mattress is what I was, right on the edge, almost falling out. And I know there's been complaints about it being dark and gloomy. I thought it worked. I could see it, and that was fine. Yeah, for me, this is a 5 bloob episode. Absolutely fucking loved it.
Mm.
Spectacular.
There you go. Straight out the gate with a 5 bloob. Look, all right. I immediately can sense that I sound disappointed in that score.
Yeah, I can sense it too, but I'm just not going to change my opinion. It would have done if I hadn't
No. Hey, look, if you enjoyed it and you thought it was the best episode of the season, then I get that. That's the one thing that I'll say about this episode. And do you know what? I'll go next, actually.
Yeah, so fuckers.
I mean, it makes sense rather than just reading out someone's score. But I thought let's get the terrible stuff out of the way. The funeral stuff, and we'll get onto it shortly, didn't work for me at all. I was just like, what is this? I thought it was so boring. I thought the actual ceremony itself was fine. I thought like the little speech and stuff.
Pointed in places.
Yeah, like Damon's reaction to stuff. It's just, I just find his character so, so disappointing to what I was expecting to see, to be honest. I thought the lighting was awful. Really, really bad. I kind of pity Gaz and Len. I'd imagine they probably watched it in the daytime and it was quite bright and then it would just be impossible. I think if you watch it at night in the darkness, in a dark room, and it's still just so... I don't know if they're trying to go for like gloomy or whatever. And I understand they can't have a fucking lamppost just randomly in the scenes, but honestly, like, have some fires.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, I thought there have been episodes of shit before. I've been like, I literally can't see that person's face. Honestly, didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah. Well, it was. It was terrible. And you're wrong. So for that alone, I could absolutely never give this a 5 bloob. People moan about the episode of the final season, which I thought was a 5 bloob episode, and a lot of people were like, oh, I couldn't really even see what was going on. But comparatively, I mean, you can. It like was nowhere near as bad as this episode. Having said that, I thought there was a lot to like about this episode. Part of me thinks that maybe they lit the whole thing that badly because they wanted the dragon ride of Vhagar and Aemond. They wanted that to not be as exposed CGI-wise because I thought that did look quite good.
That's interesting.
It's the first moment of the season where I've genuinely been like, yeah, awesome. That is awesome. And I know Len has alluded to Aemond not necessarily being a fan favourite, I like him. I like his character a lot. I sort of pity him in some ways. So without kind of deep diving it too much, I'll give the episode a 4 bloob. I think it is the best episode of the season. And maybe it's set it up for, you know, a 5 bloob
episode 8
or episode 9, potentially.
I think that's perfectly respectable. I think it's the first one I've been really excited about, like properly excited, hooked, intrigued. And maybe it's because I had a bad day, or maybe it's because it was a great episode. But I think it sort of now sets the tone for, we've got 3 episodes left. It's got to ramp up, right? So it's getting exciting. And I think that's part of it, is the anticipation of what's going to happen in the rest of the season as well. And I've got to say, I think Emma Darcy, her performance in this as Rhaenyra is stunning. She is so good. And she plays that kind of cold, composed public face really well, I think. And then when she shows her kind of true colours, you know, her actual self in private, mostly only with Daemon, again, equally beautiful, great performance. I really think she's great. And I think she really blew me away this week. Anyway,
yeah.
Tell me what the rest of the gang have scored it.
Well, do you want to guess? So
I think Len's given it a 5.
Correct.
Lucy's given it a 4.
Correct.
And Gaz, I think he might have given it a 5.
Correct.
Hey, check me out.
It's what happens when you podcast with this lot for too long, is that you know exactly what they're going to like about the episode. It's kind of like whenever I listen to a pod that I'm not on, that Len's on, and he just turns around and goes, "Do you know what? I think John would hate that."
Yeah.
And normally I'd be listening to it seething.
No, I just sometimes just watch stuff on the telly and think, John would fucking hate this shit. And it's nothing to do with podcasting.
No, good. And yes. And hopefully the listeners feel the same. So there you go. I think officially, if we tallied up all the scores, the best episode of the season. So well done. Maybe this is the turning point. Maybe all of the rest of the episodes and then the subsequent seasons are incredible. Maybe we finally got to the story that we want to get to. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm still fairly sceptical. Regardless, enough of that nonsense. We'll get into the deep dive shortly. But first, we have an advert break. All right, quick advert break. This is the bit where we obviously just push. I mean, we're not pushing any other podcasts. You know, we're just doing House of the Dragon at the moment. But we do have a new Patreon, Emma. We have a new Patreon to welcome. So Tim Pickerill.
Tim Pickerill?
Thanks. Yeah.
Do you know him? Or? No, just a fantastic name. Right. Welcome, Tim, to the fandom of Fan Critical.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tim. Me personally, I'm not as money hungry as the rest of them. You know, I'll take a tweet that says, "Oh, do you know what? I thought your podcast was a load of rubbish." You know, I'll take that. But if you want to send us money instead, you know, that's good as well.
Each of their own.
So thanks. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks very much, Tim. If you want to get shouted out in such a glorious way, what we've done for Tim there, you can also become a Patreon at patreon.com/fancritical. You know, I almost forgot the URL because Len didn't include it in the notes. But there you go, off the top of my head. Yeah,
it's only been 5 years.
Yes. Well, we've not been asking for money for 5 years. I think it's a scam that we're asking for money now, to be honest. But, you know, support us. Good. All right. Well, cheers, Tim. No, don't look at me like that. You're allowed to say that. It's not a scam, it is genuine. That's it. That's the end of the advert.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, enough of that nonsense advert and whatever scams being perpetuated. So we join King Viserys and his court as they attend Lady Lena's funeral in Driftmark. She's laid to rest in the traditions of the Valyrians. So, look, I know this is going to be a little bit contradictory, but scenic-wise, particularly when they're in the daytime, I thought it looked quite good. I thought the ceremony was quite good. I thought, you know, it's quite fascinating that they are such a sea folk. Obviously, you know, Lord Corlys is the sea snake, basically, but very, very Greyjoy-esque.
I was about to say, it reminds me, very Drowned Gods-esque type thing. You know, and actually, this is where I thought the lighting of the episode was really good, because it, and you know, maybe that's the tone that they were trying to go for, but middle of the day, but it's overcast and it's grey and it's somber because it is a really fucking tragic funeral. I like that they have a tradition of their own, which is, you know, stone sarcophagus into the sea, and you know, I'm not actually sure because it was a bit dark at this point, but when you follow the sarcophagus down to the seabed, I'm pretty sure that there are sarcophagi everywhere. And that's where they bury their dead. And
is that the plural?
Sarcophagi, yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I was good. Obsessed with ancient Egypt when I was young. It is sarcophagi. I thought it was a really interesting.
Yeah, but pyramids are a slippery slope, aren't they?
That they are.
Yeah. Honestly, I have to. I can't help myself.
The problem is, when you do that, what it makes me do is try and think of a pun, and I can never think of a pun, and now I'm annoyed. Yeah,
slow, isn't it? There were loads at the bottom. You are right. And I like that. Mm. I guess, so there's a bit just afterwards where Daemon, he sort of laughs during the ceremony.
So awkward.
Why is he doing
what
that?
A prick.
Like, what's the choice there? Like,
I feel like some of his behaviour over the last few episodes has been what I would expect from Aegon. Can I call him Aegon?
Yes.
I prefer Aegon. It's like, you know, 16-year-old boy king wanker, literally, behaviour. And it's kind of, sometimes I think he's more immature than Aegon is. But I quite like the fact that he's just a prick. It was awkward.
I know, but yeah, not all the time though. Like, I mean,
he isn't all
it feels
the time.
Like they're over egging that a little bit. He doesn't have to laugh, and I know he's he's over egg on it. I just think it's. I've said before, I like a little bit of nuance to these characters. I don't like, you know, come on. Later on, there's a reference, you know, to the Targaryens being a fire people and the Valyrians being a sea people. And I get that what they're trying to show there is, you know, that Daemon doesn't really take any of their stuff seriously because he thinks he's above that.
Actually, water
I get
puts
that,
out
but
fire.
But he doesn't have to laugh at a funeral so openly for that to kind of resonate with the audience.
Funeral for his wife, the mother of his children.
Well, yes.
Like, let's just re-clarify that. It's not like he's just laughing at anyone's funeral. His inability to connect with anyone apart from his niece is fucking abysmal. Like, he's an abysmal person. But I love it. And I do, one of the things, total distraction, this is going to happen, I'm diverging a little bit, but Daemon's characterization has been lazy in this season because they've just not bothered to give him screen time or an opportunity to develop his character. And I think that's why things like, I mean, him laughing at a funeral for his wife is going to be shit anytime. But I think that's why scenarios like that feel so utterly farcical, because we don't really know who he is. He as a character doesn't really know who he is. He's just a bit of a knob.
Yes.
And that makes it harder to even understand what was he laughing at. I found in this scene the kids really hard to watch.
Yeah.
All of them.
But okay, but good on the kids, right? Because you've obviously got the Strongs, or at least one of the Strongs, that is clearly mourning his real dad. The other younger kids are moron and doesn't realise yet.
He's like four.
He then obviously goes to, or the older brother, goes to console the cousins. They've obviously definitely lost their mum. They know that that's true. I thought the kids were really good.
Even Aegon and Aemon, who just looked like little dickheads that didn't want to be there, I thought they played it really well.
This will be good for the show, that the kids' characters are the most interesting in this episode. I know Gaz mentioned it in the hot take. He was fairly impressed with the kids' acting. I think Aemond was one that he kind of singled out.
Standout performance.
And
in
obviously
this episode.
He has a cracking, you know, arguably moment of the season thus far. Later on, but just coming back to the awkwardness of this funeral. So, did it feel a bit like treading old ground? Because I don't know if we got anything out of this funeral. Like, we know that Daemon still clearly wants to sleep with his niece. Fine. And vice versa. You know, she loves her uncle. Disgusting, but whatever. We've got Viserys, who's fucking... I'm sure his nose probably falls off at some point in this scene.
Bit better
He's
this week.
He's dead, isn't he? Come on. The zombie, for fuck's sake. He doesn't know what's going on. There's a bit where he calls Alicent Emma. Yeah. And it's kind of like we know that that's the case. I think there's a little interaction where you've got Aegon that he shows no interest in wanting to marry his weird sister.
Well, which is an interesting, and I guess when we're talking about the funeral here, we're talking about the whole thing, right? So not just the burial, the up on
correct.
The...
Everything before the darkness, basically.
Okay, everything in the light, which is minimal. Do you know what? I get why they did it, and I think they're using this as a kind of opening set piece for all of the different branches of the stories in this episode. So you're showing, you know, your covert looks between Daemon and Rhaenyra, the tension between Alicent and Viserys, only from Alicent, because Viserys has no idea what's happening. Even there's a really, I thought, a really poignant moment between Rhaenyra and her aunt.
Yeah, Rhaenys.
Rhaenys, thank you. I didn't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Between Rhaenyra and Rhaenys, and you think back to the last time we saw them interact was, you know, her saying, they'll never make a woman queen. And now they're here in this moment, you know, she is the heir apparent, she is the heir to the Iron Throne, and there's this very poignant kind of catching of eyes and avoiding each other. And, you know, I think in a way, Rhaenys blames Rhaenyra for a lot of what's happened here. Because actually, if Daemon had been given the heir to the throne, maybe he wouldn't have married Laena. Maybe she wouldn't have been in this situation. And I think some of this is really good. Some of it is utterly farcical, and it went on a little bit too long. But I do understand why they did it, and I think there's also another moment that I thought was really powerful, which is Laena in the sea.
Yeah, and obviously it's it's kind of foreshadowing how the episode ends. Yeah, I mean, you sort of feel sorry for him there in the sea. You know, he's mourning not only the fact that his sister's died, but also, I mean, his life is basically over as well because he can't be who he wants to be.
Sad.
It is sad, but then, I mean, he goes missing for, I don't know, like a day or something, and he's just been messing around with his squires or whatever. And it's like, well, my sympathy is not as... not as strong as it once was.
I think his grief for his sister, I have sympathy for. I don't necessarily have sympathy for the fact that he made an agreement to marry a woman that he wasn't interested in for politics, and now he's miserable because he can't go and do what he wants to do.
Well, he's doing his duty, which is it's what Aemon says to Aegon. He says, regardless, you know, you've got to marry her to keep the bloodline strong. Aemon is clearly far more of a...
He's a Targaryen.
Well, I mean, he's showing himself to be more of a leader, but he also respects the fact that, you know, he's not the heir. His brother is. So he needs to get his fucking shit together, basically.
He's very astute for a child, I think, Aemon.
I think we've missed out a little bit. I kind of feel like we could have sacrificed some of the way in which this season has been structured to give those kids more time.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird because a lot of my complaint is that we're skipping so much time. But I would much rather, because bearing in mind this is that kid's last episode...
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to take it very macro, we could have had a season with the young'uns, a season with this crew, and a season with the older crew. Like, I mean, what's the time jump? 3 years? So, I mean, that's sacked them off. It's a completely different cast of children. And, you know, there's things in there that I'd really like to have explored, like the strong boy's relationship with Laena's children. You know, clearly they have affection for each other and there's some kind of closeness there. But we've never seen any of that. So it sort of felt, well, yeah. I felt the emotion of it, but it doesn't have the impact that it could do. I mean, overall, no. I think the funeral, it wasn't the strongest bit of the episode, let's all be honest, but it wasn't terrible.
Definitely not. No. But then, you know, it gets, in fact, actually, I'll ask you this question. I know you've started reading the books. I don't know how far you've got.
I'm not up to current events.
Fine, good. So we've got a new hand, and it's Otto. Otto's the hand of the king again.
And two.
How's that happened?
Well...
Were you expecting to see him as hand this episode?
I'll be perfectly honest, it didn't surprise me in any way. Which is odd, but I think with the death of Strong... Senior. Otto's probably the only person that Viserys has ever really trusted as a hand up until the moment that he didn't. And, you know, as Alicent said to what do we call him? Larys.
Hey.
You know, she wants someone who's on her side. So clearly there's been a little bit of whispering in ears.
Well,
I think it's interesting.
Look, it's quite bold because that was one of my favourite scenes where he called out his hand and just said, do you know what? No, I've had enough. He's sacked now, to be honest. So for him to, I'd imagine for people that haven't read the books, that would be fairly grating anyway to be like, well, how's this happened? Because last episode, like at the end of last episode, it was a suggestion.
Yeah, it did happen quite quickly.
By Alicent, that he could come back. And then it's just like, well, no, he's back now.
I suppose
no
also,
one knows how that happened.
I suppose also you've got to bear in mind, you know, Viserys is a very different man now. You know, he's armless, if anything.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we can't make that joke every episode.
I know, but I finally got one in, which I only noticed this episode for the first time. I had no clue last episode that he lost an arm.
What are you watching? Walking around with one arm.
I just didn't look. One thing that Otto did do in this episode that I really quite enjoyed was kick Aegon in the nuts. That was great. I've wanted to do that for the last two episodes and I loved it.
Yeah.
But interesting to see Aemon watch it, you know, given that he is obviously very aware of his role and the need for Aegon to behave in a certain way as the, you know, second in line to the throne in a way, or, you know, potentially first in line if Alicent gets her way. That's a very interesting little bit of knowledge for him to hold and potentially hold over Otto Hightower.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. Aemon is clearly, he's clearly the one that is learning from Otto and Alicent. But he also has that, you know, he's a Targaryen, so he's got that fire. Yeah, he's got that fire about him that they wouldn't have. And I'm interested to see an older Aemon.
Yes.
You know, I've seen the actor.
I've resisted.
Okay, fine. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be very good. I mean, the time jump is hilarious because he goes from being this tiny child to this giant man. But, you know.
3 years is a long time in puberty.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, with Targaryens, definitely.
Unlike Crispy, he's not aged a day in 12 years.
Oh, he's had a haircut. He's had a haircut. Anyway, so we go away from the funeral into the darkness. And as you've alluded to, there are a few people getting dragged off to bed. We've got Otto kicking Aegon and then dragging him to bed. But clearly the scene we're going to talk about here before the best scene is a scene that is fucking, it baffles me, to be honest, because Twitter has gone off. Twitter is delighted. Well, not all of Twitter, but there's a small section that are shipping this Daemon.
Have you got any live Twitter quotes to bring to us, John?
I kind of looked at it, but
is it just too?
All right, that's just weird. People,
give us a taste.
Like, I'll give you a taste. So.
Out of the way earlier in the episode and didn't wait till right at the end, because I think that is the turning point for a lot of really good action here. I don't mean that in a sexy way.
So this is two people having a conversation on Twitter. Daemon just taking his time to caress Rhaenyra. He was so gentle the whole time. # House of the Dragon. # Daemira.
That sounds like Dame Era, which is just depressing, like Dame Edna.
I mean, that hashtag, that is trending. So if you want to see some of these tweets for yourself, yeah, Dame Era, Daemyra, search for that word on Twitter and you'll fall into a world of the weirdest people, honestly. And I'm sure there are listeners here that are shipping their relationship. And your only out is that this is fiction. But even that, it is baffles me. So the response to that tweet was, yes. He was so gentle. Tearing up emoji. And also their sex scene. For some reason, they've blanked out the letter E in sex. I mean, yeah. Also, their sex scene was more of a calmness and peace than passion. It was more like releasing their pain, separation of years, and now fully consuming into each other. And then lots of teary-eyed emojis with love hearts. That hashtag again, along with House of the Dragon, Daemon, Rhaenyra, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Can I'm going to say now...
fucking baffling.
If I'd read that about any other normal hookup, I'd feel slightly ill inside. Like, that's just pathetic.
Correct.
If you suspend your belief and your normality and your societal rules and morality and, you know, law, and the fact that you probably shouldn't fuck or marry your uncle, And I say that in a way that, you know, things happen in the world that shouldn't. But in general, if you have a choice in the matter, this is not something you should do. However, as a plot point and what comes from this union, excellent, right? Mm. Excellent. The conversation, sorry, don't know what happened there. The conversation and the conversation afterwards and, you know, it wasn't gratuitous, which I thought was kind of fine. I don't need to see gratuitous sex between Matt Smith and Emma Darcy.
Well,
but the conversations that kind of bookended the fucking were good.
See, now you're making it worse now.
I feel awkward about it because it is weird sexy time. I don't like it.
Yes, can you say a calm passion instead of fucking?
The final release of tension, yes, between uncle and niece. Oh God, I think I'm going to vomit. I think that's why Lucy's sick today. But I think when you think about what then comes from that union of people, it's great because it opens up so much more. And you know, the later scene, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, at some point. But the wedding's great, and it's really pulling us back into this is who the Targaryens were when they were strongest in rule, right?
Mm.
Incestuous, fiery, powerful people. Great. Loved it. Didn't need to see Matt Smith's bum.
Well, didn't need to see it, but, isn't it? Little bonus. Matt Smith's bum. What's wrong with that?
It wasn't naked. It was in his trousers. What did you think, John? tell me your thoughts
look,
about the coupling.
I mean, look, I knew it was coming, right?
He's not impotent. We can tell Gaz that.
Yes. Do I think they? Well, funnily enough, it's not even. I don't have a problem with the scene. I don't. It's the reaction to it. It should be. And to be fair, I've seen a couple of reactions where there are people that just can't watch it. Where it's just like, ugh. Like,
I don't think you have to react in either extreme. Why can't you just react like it's a scene in a fictional show? Incest is wrong, but cool.
No. Right.
No, incest is wrong, full stop. But this is fine in the instance of the show. It's cool.
Cut. We're going to be printing out.
Incest is wrong, but cool.
Incest is wrong, but cool. Yes, okay. Good. I have a quick question, and this was a question that Len had. And it's a question for you. Is she pregnant after this?
I mean, maybe. She's relatively fertile. yeah, probably. I mean, for plot, probably. I hadn't really considered it. So I imagine there'll be more. You know, they clearly like each other a lot. What do you think?
Sorry, they clearly like each other a lot. Yeah. So I think they're just going to have more sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I don't have to see it. I don't care. But yes, I suspect that you are correct. Because they like each other a lot, there is going to be more sex. Good. So the more interesting part of this darkness... is we get, and we've already discussed it, but little Aemond. So he's running around in the darkness. Comes across Vhagar. Massive Vhagar, very dusty. Or sandy, whatever it is. Looks proper beat up. You know, this is the biggest dragon alive at this point.
It's fucking huge.
Len's written here, she's roughly 170 years old here. And he is right, but it makes me laugh. So this is an old dragon. This scene is just brilliant. Did you have any concerns when Aemond approached Vhagar that he'd get his face burned off, or?
First two goes. Do you know what? The overwhelming feeling I had about this scene was...
Goes.
Go on. Go on, mate. You know, fuck the rest of them. Get yourself the biggest dragon in Westeros, or in the world, currently. And I was proper egging him on.
Aemond.
I was proper Aemonding him on, in on. I can't even say that. Jesus, it's this tick. I don't think I did feel any massive peril for him, because I really did think that he was going to succeed. And I will say this, Gareth won't like it. You can feel the sadness and the bereftness of Vhagar after losing Laena.
Yes.
You know, well, yeah. I like to think that Vhagar has a very, bit like a, you know, like a gooey inside, soft personality, but hard shell. This scene was absolutely epic. He's you look at him, you think back to the pig dress, and now look, he's riding the biggest dragon that exists. Well done, you little weirdo.
Good on him.
Well done, little weirdo. Good on him. Great.
And
I felt like he needed a win. And actually, the you know, even the things that happen later on in this episode, that kid is a great actor. And he played it seamlessly. I believed every bit of it, and I thought he was epic. But this is, I mean, the coolest scene, cooler than anything I've seen in a long time.
Mm. Yes,
I'm very enthusiastic today.
No, look, good. You know, I agree. I obviously I knew what was going to happen. So there was no worry that the show were just going to go, oh, do you know what? We won't follow the books. We're just going to have him burned alive. But that didn't take away anything from the scene. I watched it with Shell, and Shell kind of turned to me and said, oh, so you knew this was going to happen. I was like, yep. But it was, I loved it. I genuinely loved it. And I'm sure... some people will probably still slag off the CGI element or the fantastical element, but I fucking loved it. And actually, I could, this is one of those scenes where I could kind of forgive any of that.
The tension ropiness. And the music.
I think it always looks a bit rubbish when they're on the back of the dragon. Yeah. I mean, if I think back to, Daenerys flying out of the dragon pit with Drogon. Some spoiler alert for Game of Thrones season 5. Ironically, The Dance of the Dragons is what that episode is called. That looks ropey when she's flying away. But it doesn't take anything away from that scene. It's incredible.
You feel the elation.
While I watch again and again.
Elation, yeah. And surprise and like conquering feeling of finally actually doing something useful. And he's, you know, even the way that he storms up through the sand dunes just to get there, that felt powerful. And then, you know, the swooping in and out of the water with the wingtips, like when he actually goes and flies, just so good. And I think I think at this point it tipped this episode into a 5 bloop for me.
Yeah.
I was like, it can only be good from this point, right?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I have two questions for you. So, obviously this causes a little bit of a ruckus because he's just stolen. Well, or has he? Has he stolen that dragon?
That dragon
has
is
he
not...
claimed it?
He's claimed it. That dragon is not going to let someone get on his back and ride with him if she's not chosen him.
Yes.
Or allowed herself to be claimed. That dragon
and
is massive.
I suspect we will, maybe not this season, but I think we will get elements where we see that, because at the moment, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but we haven't seen a dragon turning around and going, well, you're not going to fucking ride me and bite some main character's head off.
But I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? A dragon's not just going to go, oh, go on then. If that dragon doesn't want you on it, it's just going to kill you. So, I mean, I fully say claim.
Fair enough. So he's done nothing wrong by claim it. What do you think his reasons were for claiming it? Do you think he went out of his way to get the biggest dragon because he knows that there's a war coming and he wants to be in an advantage, or what?
I don't think it's about war. I think it's about power, and I think it's about recognition. I think he wants to be acknowledged for something other than a little weirdo. And I think he's looking at his brother and thinking, you're shit. It's one of us. You're shit. What is wrong with my sister? Talking to spiders. Someone in this family has got to get their shit together and take some control and some power back. And I think that is, I don't think it necessarily comes from I foresee war and that. I think it just comes from our house needs power. Look at my dad. He's fucking useless. He's only got one arm. My mum's insane. My older brother's a complete reprobate. I think he's doing it for his family and for his house and for himself. He wants the power and he wants the control. And I really like that. And you could feel that kind of simmering off him, the determination to claim Vhagar, like, so good.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. This obviously leads to an altercation and there's a bit of a dust up with the kids.
He was a bit of a dick there, wasn't he, John?
He was a bit of a dick. He was sort of defending himself, arguably. We've got four kids running at him and one screaming at him saying he stole the dragon. That was mine to claim, blah, blah, blah. And he's...
But you should have claimed it.
He's like, well, your mum's dead, isn't it? Your mum's dead. You've not claimed it, so it's mine.
That I don't have an issue with. I think he's right.
It is a little bit of an issue.
He is right to say... No, do you know what? I know you're mourning and I've really kind of pulled the rug from under you here, but you wanted that dragon, claim that dragon. I think that bit's fair. What I think is fair, and I think the sentence you said there is four kids coming at him. They're kids. You don't have to beat them up. Just stop. Unnecessary.
Well, he does quite well. I mean, he ends up overpowering four of them.
He just didn't need to descend into that, did it? That bit, wow. I mean, it was cool. It was pretty cool. Even though I thought
cool
the strong boys did
all right.
An eye. Yeah, but, you know, cool. He looks cool now. Interesting.
This is the first proper from the kids of one of them just turning around and going, well, you bastards, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. He's calling it as it is, which then, you know, we end up in the big fallout in not the throne room, but certainly the main room in the Valyrian household. So everyone's gathered round, and we've got Aemond and his disgusting eye wound. It's pretty grim.
Quick note here. I like the fact they were brave enough to do it when they didn't do it to Tyrion in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
To a kid as well.
Yeah.
So you think in the books, Tyrion is disfigured?
He loses like the tip of his nose, doesn't he? I just think... So he gets the scar, but the scar ends up looking quite cool. The problem is that Peter Dinklage is, you know... He's not an ugly-looking person. He's all right. Whereas the character of Tyrion is supposed to be, you know, a disgusting little dwarf. That's not... I'm not paraphrasing there. That's the point of him. And he loses the tip of his nose at the Battle of the Blackwater. But I have sympathy there in that CGI-wise, that would be a bit of a ball ache to have.
Yeah, I suppose.
Peter Dinklage with the makeup on his nose to remove it for the next five seasons or whatever it would have been.
Fair point.
So I guess that's why they didn't do that. But it does look very good. Makeup-wise, I thought it looked great.
I'm sorry, John, I interrupted you setting the scene for us there. So Aemond's
no,
got
no, no,
lost
no, that's,
his
that's,
eye.
That's fine. So Alison, she's fuming, obviously. And she demands Lucerys's eye be gouged out as retribution. Viserys refuses, correct. Alicent is obviously furious and attempts to attack Lucerys. She ends up struggling with Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra says, now they see you as you are. And then she stabs her in the arm. Or she slices her a little bit with the Valyrian steel dagger. Before I miss it, one of Len's notes here.
Shining in the fire as she goes to stab her?
No, it's not that bad. It's he says Crispy is a total dick now. So he's standing in the background kind of sniggering. And he was.
It was true.
But then he said, if he would have gone for Luke's eye, that would have been disastrous. Scumbaggery. What did you make of this scene? I
want to know what you made of it, actually, because I've done a lot of talking, John. What did you think
much,
of this
too
scene?
Too much talking in some ways.
What are doing here?
Do you know what it reminded me of? In season one of Game of Thrones, we have Joffrey. He gets bitten, doesn't he, by Nymeria?
Oh yeah.
And then Arya, makes Nymeria run away. She's like, run away, because otherwise they'll end up killing you, or whatever. They go back, and then they do the whole eye for an eye. And Robert Baratheon obviously says to Ned, he's like, well, you're going to have to kill the direwolf. And he's like, well, the direwolf's run off. And they're like, all right, we'll kill the other one, which how terrible is that of me? I can't remember. What was the name of... Oh, that is annoying. It's Lady. Lady is the direwolf.
Lady.
So that's what the that's what the scene reminded me of.
Interesting parallel.
Obviously on a much smaller scale. Do you know what? If I was going to be somewhat critical, I think some of the reaction of some of the characters here that doesn't really make sense to me. Like
which ones?
I think the Valyrians kind of disappear in this. And bearing in mind, Corlys is quite a big character. He was turning around, and it's his house. People are kicking off late at night, and it's his whether or not he's accepted that they're his grandkids or not. For him to just stand there and not really offer anything in that scene. I get they are trying to make it queen versus queen. It's the greens versus the blacks. But there were certain characters here. So it kind of... Daemon manoeuvres himself so that you've got a split in the room where it's like it's these guys versus these guys. And that's fine. And that's needed. Someone like Otto saying nothing during that scene, but then you see the looks that he gives. And the reason they do that is they then reference a conversation later on where he says to Alicent, I've never seen that before. That's a good thing because you're gonna need to fight.
Yeah.
And even if he has he's maneuvered her into a position which has put her into danger. That's obviously a conversation that we hear early on with Corlys and Rhaenys or whatever her name is, which is actually a really good conversation.
I think they're great.
Yeah, they've clearly been cast because they're older, excellent actors. So whenever they're interacting with one another, it takes it up a notch.
So question for you.
Yes.
You make a good point about, the Valyrians really sort of fading into the background in this scene. Do you think that that's because the Sea Snake is respecting the king is here and he is in charge, whether it's his hall or not? Or do you think that's because they sort of want to watch the Targaryens burn? Do you know what I mean? Because it benefits
certainly... it's definitely got nothing to do with respecting the king. We've seen previously, Corlys getting up and saying this is an outrage when he decided to marry Alicent.
Was 10 years ago.
12-year-old daughter. But he is definitely trying to maneuver his house into a position to get the throne, or is at least maneuvering his name, should I say, to get the throne. You know, he's clearly been told that these are not our grandkids. It's not our blood. And he doesn't really give a shit. And it's kind of like, all right, well, that's silly. But fair enough. Maybe that played a part in this scene. And maybe it does just need to be those two versus one another. I kind of get that. It's not a major problem that I had with the scene. More of this, I think. And I thought Viserys was brilliant in this scene again. I feel for him big time.
Alicent, unhinged Alicent, just beautiful. Like, it was such a good performance, and I've been waiting for her to lose her shit like that for so long. Two episodes, actually. It feels like a lot longer. But it was the look in her eyes. The whole thing was played amazingly, and I felt like the two of them together, that little whispered or, you know, muttered comment from Rhaenyra about, you know, now they see you as you really are, and, you know, the way that she then sort of steps back and kind of realises she is in the middle of, I mean, it's a dance-off in the middle of a nightclub when you're pissed and you don't realise what you're doing, isn't it? Actually, she just stabbed the queen in waiting. And I thought it was excellently manoeuvred. And I thought, and very much like with the funeral scene, everyone in the background with their little looks, like you mentioned about Daemon and Otto Hightower, and, you know, or you could see all of these people and their reactions and their subtle side taking and who they're protecting and where they're going. Great. It like a chess game.
Really, really well done. Agreed. Len asked a question here. He said, so Viserys decreed that anyone questioning his grandson's legitimacy will have their tongues cut out. Do you think we're going to see that in the next few episodes?
I hope so. I hope it's Alicent's.
It definitely...
you can't say anything.
No. But it's not... It's a minor detail. It's not like... I'm not going to turn around and go, well, no, we're definitely going to see it. I'm not like Len, where I go, well, we're definitely going to see it because blah, blah, blah's, you know, maybe he's got some loose lips and, you know, we've just heard that.
Yeah, and someone's going to claim the biggest dragon in the land.
Yes.
Well, why wasn't that a surprise?
I think because we've already seen it, I don't think we're going to see any more tongues removed. You know, we've seen Larys do his little thing with his silent murderers. I'll call them silent because they've got no tongues. So I don't think we're going to see it again.
I think you're probably right. And I think less so for that reason, but more so because Viserys has very little follow through at the moment. Yes. Like, you know, he's all bark and no bite.
He's got zero follow through, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a nice threat, but I don't think anyone's going to believe it. And it's not going to stop people. If the king's own sons are calling his grandchildren bastards, who the fuck else is going to stop?
Correct.
Interesting, though. Good question.
One final question, and it relates to Otto. Well, it's not a question, actually. I can turn it into a question. So now we've got Otto Hightower back. We've pretty much, aside from I think one, maybe two characters, we've pretty much got a small council that is fully Team Green.
Yeah.
So, what do you make of that?
Well done, Alicent. I don't think it's going to stop Rhaenyra and Daemon.
Yes. Well, I think. Well, I mean, if it did, then fucking hell, what sort of season is this? It's just, well. Yeah.
Oh, it's over now. It's interesting because in the space of an episode, we've gone from Alicent whining about no one being on her side to a very swift development of a team backing her. However, I think no matter how much Viserys cares or cared for Alicent, he's all about Targaryen blood and family and his house. I think he would slaughter the lot to protect his legacy. And by that, I mean yes. Rhaenyra.
Well, yes.
I think, and I think that that's powerful. He, you know, as you say, no follow through, literally zero at the moment, because he is a cripple, a zombie cripple. But at heart, that's what matters to him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fire yes. and blood.
No, that's, well, there you go. Done. Finished. Well, we
end
have
the season. Goodbye.
Yeah, but goodbye. So this is where we get to, this is bizarre, this bit. So obviously Laena, and, you know, Len, if you're listening, make sure you are listening, because, you know, I want to make sure that you don't miss this bit, because it's obviously key. But Laena confessed that he hadn't been good enough for Rhaenyra or the kids. He missed all of it, didn't he? He wasn't even there the night before. Useless. I defended him before. I was like, look, he's allowed to go out on the piss if he's gay and his wife's shagging someone else. But come on, mate.
It's a bit different when she gets stabbed by yesterday. The queen.
Fucking hell. Terrible. Terrible.
This scene was unnecessary. It felt a little bit pointless to me. And the only reason it had any poignancy is because of the scene afterwards.
Well, this scene doesn't happen if the next scene doesn't come to pass. So, and Len's put, this had me worried a little.
Worried?
The fact that Rhaenyra and Daemon had a discussed the union and how to get rid of Laenor.
I loved it.
So Len was like, I was a little bit worried. It felt pretty dark after the nice conversation that they just had.
Well, I mean, Len did miss the end of the episode the first time round, so I'm not correct. Surprised.
So Laenor is then apparently murdered by his lover, Sir Qual, or Carl, as we call him.
Quarl.
Qual.
Carl. Carl.
Yes. Don't start with that. with Princess Rhaenys and Lord Corlys believing that the found charred body is Laenor's.
If only they had forensics.
Well, there you go. Oh, there's a burnt body here wearing boots that my son wears. It must be him. So following his fake death, Laenor shaved his head.
Skinhead.
Looks pretty good. Looks good, doesn't it? And he secretly flees Driftmark with his boyf, Sir Carl.
I don't think that was Daemon's plan. I think Sir Carl chose this. Actually, no, I'm telling a lie, because I'm thinking back now, because Daemon broke someone's neck, who I think is the body in the fire. No. Oh, weird. Ah, why?
Right.
So originally,
I'm going to ask you the question before I get into the book stuff. And I will get into the book stuff. Anyone that doesn't want to know about that, then, you know, just don't listen for the next 30 seconds. But it's not. It is about Laenor. So in the books, he does die.
Oh, okay.
And he's definitely dead.
Right.
He's definitely dead. So, but before I go into that, so what are you saying? Do you think Daemon conspired to try and kill him? And that Carl just was like, well, actually, no, we'll do this instead. Or that Daemon was like, look, you know, fake your death. And then go and disappear.
So, as I was saying that I didn't think that Daemon would have faked Laenor's death, I then remembered, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Daemon breaks the neck of a guard before Sir Carl goes in and attacks Laenor. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm sure I think so.
Yeah, that is Daemon.
Yeah.
Which is now making me wonder if Daemon did conspire with Carl to not kill Laenor, but to fake his death. However, I do not in any way understand what his motivations would be for that. That doesn't make sense to me.
And what doesn't make sense? That he would help to fake the death.
Well, yeah. So very much as Len and Gaz said in, I think Gaz said it actually in the hot take, Damon is not the sort to leave a loose end like that.
I think Len said that. Which I kind of...
But then with Book
Damon, I agree. I think it's fairly clear that you only have to go back and look at the conversation they have. He's like, with all the, it doesn't matter what your name is, with all the money in the world, when you go off somewhere, you can be whoever you want and do whatever you want.
I suppose the only way that I believe it.
He then says there needs to be witnesses. What does that
mean? Yeah, that's a good point. And I think the only way he'd do that is if he truly believed that Lainor would not be a threat, because it's more important to Lainor to live the life he wants and be happy than it is to have anything to do with the Game of Thrones. And actually, I sort of believe that from a Lainor perspective. I'm challenged a little bit still with Damon.
Yes.
But it's interesting what you say about the conversation, because actually when you look at it in hindsight... Very different, isn't
it? Go back and listen to that conversation again. Knowing that the end of that is that they fake the death of someone, and you'd be like, okay, well, yeah, I'm 95% certain. But I don't think Book Damon would do that. So I get the hesitancy from both Len and Gaz. Go on, question.
Question for you. What did you think about the very traditional bloody wedding between Damon and Rhaenyra with her children watching on?
I mean, it was different, wasn't it? Felt very...
primal.
Like Vikings or something. Like, yeah, I thought it looked really good.
It was the traditional joining our blood thing, isn't it?
And yes.
I really liked it.
Yeah. In the old Valyrian tradition, to continue the pure Targaryen bloodline. And it's obviously a private ceremony. I think the kids look fucking depressed, but
bewildered, weird, I think, is the word. Yeah, like, what the fuck is this?
Yes. But as I say, before you ask me about that, I was gonna tell you what Lena's death is in the books. I can skip it if you want.
No, I want to know.
All right. So he was slain by his friend Sir Carl Quarry while attending a fair at Spicetown in 120 AC. The merchants present reported that the two men had been quarrelling before the blades had come out. Septon Eustace insists that Carl had killed Lena out of jealousy, believing that Lena had become enamoured of a new, younger male favourite.
Oh,
it's annoying when that happens, isn't it? According to Mushroom, however, Carl had killed Lainor on behalf of Prince Daemon Targaryen, although there was no shred of proof for this.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Mushroom, he just likes stirring stuff up there.
I've not met Mushroom yet, and I'm looking forward to it, I must say.
We will never see him again.
No, I mean in the book.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But no. So,
okay, intriguing. Because I believe that more.
Yes. All right. Well, look, we're already running. Len is going to be furious at the runtime.
That's what
of
happens
this episode
when you leave
for two people. But it's all good.
Emma and John together on a podcast.
Finished. We're going to go on to listener feedback, and it's I'll only pick a select few. So if I haven't picked your feedback, it's not personal. I'm just, raffle, because we can't do all of them. But so we'll pick Stu. So Stu said, hi, guys, love the podcast, but noticed you missed a bit of episode 6 with Larys cutting off prisoners' tongues, which I did mention in this podcast, actually. But no, that's very fair. It's quite difficult to cover everything.
As you can tell from this episode.
Yes, but you are right. And look, Stu, I don't think it's the last time that we're going to be seeing Larys cutting people's tongues off, to be honest. He seems a bit of a wrong'un.
Can't tell secrets with the tongue, can you?
No, exactly that.
Spider.
He said, it's always good to have a favourite podcast for shows that I watch. So cheers, Stu. Yes. I don't think he's actually alluding to us being his favourite podcast, but that's fine. I think he's just saying it in general. Look, it's always good, isn't it?
Yeah, good. If I could find one, it'd be great, but you'll do ones. For now.
Yeah. And we got some more feedback from Watchers on the Couch podcast. They commented before on one of our things. They said they also thought that it was very, very nice to hear Ty Tennant say twat.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's on the episode. Yeah, and it doesn't fall flat in the States. It's very, very common. It's very uncommon, apparently, to hear it in the States. So it's quite refreshing. So there you go. I think they say it slightly differently in the US.
I think they say it more twat than correct. Twat.
Yeah.
I think so I said that last week.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah, I think the British twat, it has a bit more
it's
impact.
Nicer, isn't it? Twat. It's nicer. Yeah. Friendlier.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, that's us done, Emma. That's,
amazing.
That's the end of our podcast. So,
Bronze John, thank you for hosting and perfectly guiding our conversation of said episode 7.
No problem.
Driftmark. So beautifully.
It's been a pleasure. And thank you for joining me today, Emma.
It's been a
hopefully
delight.
We have more of a squad next week. I'm not in next week's pod. And
no,
I, and
Bronze
I wanna,
John.
No, I'm not in next week's because I'm extremely busy doing my job, my real job. But I just want to make clear, I'm not getting kicked off of the next podcast because of my hosting abilities on this podcast. Because I know that's exactly what Len is going to lead with next week.
I mean, to be fair, we did say he's been kicked out for his appalling behaviour in the hot takes.
And so. He has. Yeah. Yes.
Bye-bye, Lenny.
All right. Well, look, if you have enjoyed this podcast, obviously like and subscribe, either to Fan Critical or to Bastards and Broken Things.
Whatever you prefer.
On iTunes, Spotify. Yeah. Leave us a review. Yeah. Good or bad. It's easier on iTunes, isn't it? You know, little 5-star. I thought the episode was bang average, but I've been asked to give it 5 stars. That's fine. You know, I'll take that. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to leave us feedback, again, shout us on Twitter. That is where we're most active. And when you email in, I never get to see it. So, yeah. So drop us a note on Twitter. Feel free to ask us anything.
That's at FanCriticalPod.
Yeah, at FanCriticalPod. So easy to find. And of course, I'll shout out Patreon again. Because you might go, oh, do you know what? I'm sick of hearing them talk about House of the Dragon. I want them to review this film. And you might pick the most obscure film ever. Could be something
and we'll do
that...
it. If you give us enough
dollary
dues. Yeah,
we'll do it. If you give us the dollary dues. Yeah, damn straight. So it's patreon.com/fancritical. But that's it. That's us done. So hopefully you'll have Len and Gaz and Lucy back next week. But look. Thanks for listening. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Toodaloo.
Goodbye.